You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each and every week we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained all about the Montreal Canadiens. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show, episode 393 of Canadiens Connection. This week's show titled, Youth Isn't a Problem in Montreal, It's the Canadiens' Advantage. Sounds like we're going to be talking about the young guys today. You know, we've heard so often that this team is the youngest in the NHL. What does that actually mean for the Montreal Canadiens, particularly at this time of year? But before we get to that, of course, let me also make some introductions. I'm, of course, pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, wonderful co-host, our founder and president here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good because, yes, we welcomed spring last weekend, but opening day baseball season actually happened this week. So now it's really spring.
And F1's back.
Again, yeah. Konnichiwa.
Well, yeah, and the spring blooms in Japan and, oh, spring is here.
Spring is here. And today we're going to talk about the spring chickens.
Yeah, well, I was wondering how you'd get there, but that's pretty good.
Have a little faith. Have a little faith.
And it was a good week for the Canadiens. Three wins. Yeah. Jumped up again in their playoff probability. Mm-hmm. So lots of excitement in Montreal.
That's right. So what can you expect on today's show? Well, in our first segment, it's our week in review. We're going to recap those three games that the Canadiens played this week. Get you up to speed on any news related to the roster, as well as check in on the Habs prospects playing in the AHL, ECHL, NCAA, over in Europe, CHL, things of that nature. We'll get you all caught up in how the prospects are doing. And we've got a little bit of news from around the NHL. All of that in the first segment. Then in our second segment, we're tackling our big topic for the week. The Montreal Canadiens are the NHL's youngest team, and that's a good thing. We are going to, you know, we're going to talk about how this has been the thing that's, you know, there's kind of said with trepidation for a good portion of the year. Even now, but really that hasn't been a disadvantage for the Canadiens. In fact, their youngest players are the ones helping to drive their success this season. And so we're going to kind of examine the different levels of that and examine, you know, just how much the youth core on this team have been the ones contributing to where the Canadiens find themselves right now. It's going to be a really fun and fascinating second segment, so you're going to want to listen to that and stick around for that. And then in our third segment, boy, it's segment three is always when we let you have your say, and you had lots to say this past week. We had so many viewer and listener responses to choose from. We're going to read you more than we normally do, and that was just kind of the tip of the iceberg, really. We had a lot to choose from. So lots of Habs fan thoughts to bring you in the third segment. You're going to want to stick around for that. Maybe you agree with them, maybe you disagree with them, and we'll give you an opportunity to make your voice heard as well, so you don't want to miss that. So without further ado, let's kick things off with the games that have taken place this past week. Going back to last Saturday, the Canadians hosting the New York Islanders on home ice. And, you know, the Canadians with 7 goals in that game, not too shabby, beating the Islanders 7-3.
And they had a good first period. Unusually, they outshot their opposition in the first period, 17-6. Yet they were trailing at the end of the first. We had a long discussion about player number 8 last week. And my goodness, early in the game, who figured into the scoring for the Islanders? And that was number 8 for the Montreal Canadiens, with a little bit of a ballroom twirl, which was pretty and smooth. Well, maybe not so smooth, but led to a goal against. But after that, it was the Canadiens' top line that took over, and 13 points combined between Nick Suzuki, Cole Caufield, Yuri Slavkovsky with 4 points, 2 goals and 2 assists. Cole Caufield with a hat trick, 3 goals, 2 assists. It was a bit of a goal fest after a back and forth start. That top line was dominating in this game. Jacob Fowler with 19 saves, and he picked up the win.
Definitely. Fast forward to Tuesday night, the Canadians hosting the Carolina Hurricanes, and after 20 minutes, this did not look good. It's amazing that I'm able to report that the Canadians won this game 5-2, because after the first period, no, didn't look like that was anywhere close to being able to happen.
Canadians won 5-2, but the score doesn't reflect what happened in the game. Mm-mm. Montreal was completely dominated. They lost battles. They committed turnovers. The Carolina Hurricanes were relentless in their pressure. First period shots were 16-4, for Carolina. Shots in the third period were 17-4. Overall, 43-19, complete domination, by the Hurricanes, but it was Jakub Dobish with his best start of this season. Was it the best start of his career? Maybe, given the strength of the opposition. 41 saves in this one, 9.53 save percentage. A nod as well to Ivan Demidov, a goal and an assist for the rookie. And a really important game. And this was Jakub Dobish stole this win for the Montreal Canadiens.
Definitely. Two nights later, Jakub Dobish would find himself backstopping the Canadiens once again, this time with the can't lose since Rick Bonus took over Columbus Blue Jackets. And this was a much tighter game than the two previous games in the week. And again, they got started off on the wrong foot in the first period. Miraculously, the Habs coming out with a 2-1 victory.
First 5 shots all to Columbus. Dobish had to be sharp again, and he was. Shots on goal in the first 8 minutes were 8-1 for the Blue Jackets. Similarly, very similar to the Carolina game, and ended up 13-6 in the first period. Dobish, excellent. It was Jaden Struble scoring a first period goal, his first goal of the season, and then breaking the tie in the third period. It was Zach Bolduc, and we know the streak that Zach Bolduc's been on. This was his he finally broke a 31 game goalless streak. So, his first, he scores every 32 goals, whether he needs to or not, every 32 games. He was very pleased to get, that monkey off his back, and he doesn't now have to point to, his last goal being in practice. His quote this week was that that he's been scoring a lot in practice.
His confidence is fine because he can score in practice.
He needed that and he got it. And he's been playing once paired up with Jake Evans. Give a lot of credit to Jake Evans here. The two have matched up well. They had Josh Anderson with them. On Thursday night, and Josh Anderson displaying the kind of physicality that Bolduc should aspire to. So a good week, three wins, and against tough opponents.
Mm-hmm. Some things that they need to work on still, need to get a better start. Certainly in the playoffs, teams will take advantage of that if they don't figure that out. But we'll see where we go from here. Having a good week, it was, you had plenty of options to choose from when selecting your three stars for this week. But I have to say, I agree with you making Jakub Dobish your first star for the week.
Jakub Dobish had to be the first star, given the fact that the Canadians were, certainly outplayed, in the first period of two of the games and completely in that Carolina game. Jakub Dobish, two starts, two wins, .957 save percentage and 150 goals against. He was superb.
And understandable that Cole Caulfield comes in with your second star of the week.
Four goals, three assists for 7 points in those three games, 44 goals on the season. And, well, won't say it. Well, let's see where he gets to.
Yeah. And then for your third star of the week, you've got Juraj Slafkovský.
Juraj Slafkovský with 3 goals and 3 assists for 6 points. Really helping that top line, although I still think before the end of the regular season, I'd like to see Marty St. Louis move him back to that second line and give the young guys some help there. Caulfield and Suzuki, given their status, should be able to work with another winger.
Mm-hmm. You do have an honorable mention this week, and that is defenseman Caden Gooley.
Great week for Caden Gooley. He was struggling after missing such a long period of with injury, mm-hmm. period of the season. Came back, took him a while to get going, but had a great week. A goal and 2 assists for 3 points. But it is necessarily, the offense is nice, but that isn't what you need Caden Gooley for. He had 13 hits. That led all Montreal Canadiens. He had 9 blocked shots. And in those 3 games, playing 19 minutes and 14 seconds on average per game, in total, he registered 1 giveaway. That's excellent. And I won't compare it to some of the other Canadians defensemen.
No.
Caden Gooley had a really strong week.
Definitely. So, 3 wins this week certainly put them back on the right track. Now with a 40-21-10 record, that's good enough for 90 points. Third overall in the Atlantic, 7th overall in the NHL, 3 straight wins, 40 wins. It's, they're back in a playoff spot. Solidly again.
Yeah, a couple of milestones. Got to the 40 win mark, got to the 90 point plateau. So it was a very good week.
And after watching their odds of making the playoffs from Money Puck plummet to 75.5% last week, they turned that right around again. And now odds, according to Money Puck, 93.8%.
And I said that they face some pretty tough competition, so that brings their ranking down in terms of, mm-hmm. of the competition that they face. They're down to the 14th toughest schedule in the league with 11 games remaining. The toughest games ahead for them, Carolina, that'll be on Sunday. Two matchups against Tampa Bay, one more against Columbus, and one more against the New York Islanders.
Definitely. All right. In terms of the roster, NHL announced on Monday, you know, Cole Caulfield might have been your second star of the week. Well, the NHL decided that he was the league's third star of the week for last week.
Yeah, nice honor for Cole Caulfield. The number one star of the week, Nikita Kucherov. The second star, Philippe Forsberg. And that puts Cole Caulfield, well-deserved third star of the week.
We like it. Congratulations to him. There are multiple reports. This is an interesting thing that came out just in the last 24 to 48 hours or so. There are multiple reports trickling around that Canadiens goaltending scout and Russia pro scout Vinny Riondo is set to become the new GM of the KHL's Shanghai Dragons.
Yeah, very interesting. Vinny Riondo, very important, under the radar kind of guy for the Montreal Canadiens. He's the goalie scout, and he works a lot in Russia. He's a Russia pro scout. Nick Bobrov gets a lot of the credit, but Riondo is boots on the ground. He knows that the scene, the culture, everything in Russia. He's an excellent scout.
He's very smart.
Extremely smart. We got to know him really quite well when he was, he started off as a goaltending coach, consultant for the AHL affiliate of the Canadiens, Hamilton Bulldogs, eventually St. John's Ice Caps, and was the assistant general manager, we'd say. Very smart, very connected, and like I say, kind of runs under the radar. He had a successful NHL career, about 180 NHL games, and a good portion of those with the Montreal Canadiens. This is a real good opportunity for him. If that name, the Shanghai Dragons in the KHL, rings a bell, it was the team that Gerard Gallant coached until rather recently. And he left for some personal reasons, I believe. But their marketing, they really do things big. There, and this would be a real great opportunity for Riondo and leave a hole that's difficult to fill for the Montreal Canadiens.
I was just about to say, you know, this would be, if this ends up happening, could not be happier for Vincent Riondo. He's a terrific guy, as I said, exceptionally smart, very talented. He would do a tremendous job, but my goodness, this would be a loss for the Canadiens front office. It really would.
But, you know, we've talked about all the goaltending prospects that the Canadiens have and have drafted over the last few years.
That's thanks to Riondo.
Vakvanex and Volokhin, especially, Radkov. Those guys from Russia and from Latvia and Belarus. And even the homegrown ones, Cornway and Croteau and Quentin Miller, and that Vinny Riondo's had a hand in bringing the Canadiens' attention to all of those goalies that they've drafted.
Definitely. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for Vincent Riondo. We'll see what happens there. As far as the lineup, there are no changes to the lineup from Thursday's game, except that Jacob Fowler is expected to get the start in net on Saturday night against the Predators.
And that should put Jakub Dobish between the pipes on Sunday against Carolina. We just talked about maybe his best game of the season earlier in the week, and he'll have the opportunity to face them again. Really the only change is we saw Anderson bumped up to the third line with Evans and Bolduc. Texier's day-to-day. And that left a fourth line of Dano and Gallagher, no surprise there, and Joe Valeno sliding in on the left side.
All right. Now let's check in on the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
First up is actually, it's a prospect report, but it's also roster news at the same time, because this week the Montreal Canadiens announced that they had signed young defenseman Owen Protz to a 3-year entry-level contract. It begins next season, 2026-27, because the 20-year-old Protz is still playing in the OHL.
Always liked the scouting report in his draft year. Of course, he was drafted in 2024, fourth round, 102nd overall by the Canadiens. And one of the scouting reports was when Protz steps on the ice, he chooses violence.
Yeah.
I always love that line and always remember that about him. 6'2", 200 pounds, but solid, and he loves the physical game. Having a very good season with the Brantford Bulldogs, 5 goals, 18 assists for 23 points. He's still playing, and Brantford is a bit of a powerhouse, so they could go quite far in the OHL playoffs and right on to the Memorial Cup. But the Canadiens felt they wanted to get Owen Protz signed, and then we'll see what happens at the end of his season.
Mm-hmm.
Just of note, the clock was kind of ticking that the Canadiens, their rights to Owen Protz would have expired on June 1st. So they wanted to get that completely looked after. There's not many truly physical defensemen that the Canadiens have in their stable, but he's certainly one of them.
Definitely. On the NCAA side of things, the regionals for the Frozen Four tournament, which will feed the Frozen Four tournament, they started on Thursday, will continue through Sunday. The Frozen Four this year taking place in Vegas from April 9th to 11th. And there's a boatload of Canadiens prospects who are still in it.
Well, 7 Canadiens prospects started the tournament, which began on Thursday, and there are it's a single elimination knockout.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that number's been pared down. The one that you want to know about, that's Michael Hage with Michigan. Michael Hage, his Michigan, University of Michigan team beat Bentley on Friday night 5-1. So they're moving on, and they will play on Sunday against UMD. Now, Michael Hage did not play in that game on Friday. He was injured taking a slap shot on, I think it was against Ohio State. So we'll see if he makes it back into the lineup on Sunday, but Michigan is a favorite to advance to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that some of these names have been pared down. Well, one of those is left winger Logan Sawyer playing with Providence. They were eliminated by Quinnipiac on Thursday.
Wasn't for the lack of trying from Logan Sawyer. He had a goal and an assist in that game. He finished the season with 26 points, 13 goals in 34 games. Had the goal in the playoff game that I just mentioned. A very underrated prospect. It'll be interesting to see what he decides to do, whether he goes back to Providence for one more season, or whether he chooses to go pro, and if we'll see him in Laval. I'm sure that he's sitting down with his advisors this week, and we'll have some sort of decision soon.
I would imagine so. Also, Forward Jack Smith, playing for Minnesota State, was in the regionals. However, Minnesota State was eliminated by Western Michigan.
Western Michigan with the 3-1 win. Jack Smith, a forward, center, right winger, eliminated from further competition.
Now still in it. Denver is still in it. They beat Cornell. That means there are two Habs prospects playing for Denver that are advancing. Sam Harris, the left winger, and goaltender Quentin Miller.
Sam Harris, he had a goal and an assist in that game against Cornell. And yeah, he a productive forward. Denver is moving on. Quentin Miller had a very good start to the season, had an injury and then kind of lost his starting job. He did not play. He was the backup in that game. But the first of a number of Canadiens prospect goaltenders that were in that tournament.
Yep. Another one was Emmett Croteau playing for Dartmouth. He and Dartmouth were eliminated by Wisconsin.
Croteau played in that game for Dartmouth against Wisconsin. 23 saves, gave up 3 goals.
All right. And last but not least, playing for Cornell, who Sam Harris and Quentin Miller and Denver were the ones who eliminated. The goaltender on the other side of the ice for Cornell was Alexi Cournoyer.
And we talked about Alexi Cournoyer a week or so ago, last podcast or two ago, winning the Ken Dryden Award as a rookie. And he'll be going back to Cornell, I'm sure. He had 25 saves in that game with Denver giving up 4 goals.
All right. We'll see how the rest of the Frozen Four will shape up once this weekend's tournament is over.
3 prospects left for the Canadiens. I mentioned the Sunday game, and then hopefully that some of them will be getting to Vegas for the Frozen Four.
That'd be great. Before we move on to the Laval Rocket in the prospect report, just want to check in on Alexander Zhirovsky playing over in the KHL. Elliot Friedman name dropped him this week.
Zhirovsky, we talked about him being second in the KHL amongst the for the regular season in scoring amongst the under-20s. And they've played, I think he's played 1 playoff game and he's got his first playoff point. It was an assist. But it was Elliot Friedman that said he's been talking to some scouts and executives, and when the topic gets to Habs prospect Alexander Zhirovsky, here's the quote: "A few executives who saw Zhirovsky recently said that the Canadiens got away with grand larceny, picking him 34th in last year's draft."
All right, then, that's a strong statement.
And we remember that they traded up to that point, determined to select him.
Moving on to the Laval Rocket, before we get to how they perform this week, they had a signing this week, signing forward Josh Nadeau to a 1-year one-way AHL contract for next year. He also signed a PTO for the remainder of this season, kind of like what we saw happen last week with Dylan Bentley. He is 22, a little on the smaller side, 5'8", 170 pounds, but he just finished his season in the NCAA with the University of Maine. He had 17 goals and 13 assists in 30 games this year, so not too shabby.
His third season with the University of Maine. Prior to that, he played in the BCHL with Penticton. He turned pro. If that name sounds familiar to you, it's his younger brother, Bradley, who was a first-round pick by the Carolina Hurricanes in the 2023 draft.
Okay. For Laval themselves, they've had an up-and-down kind of week. They lost in the shootout to Utica at home on Wednesday night. Sean Farrell scoring the only goal in that game for the Rocket. Kapokakinen doing okay. with 20 saves on that night. Kakinen then was in the net again on Friday night when the Laval Rocket traveled to Bridgeport. Couple of firsts in this one. Luke Mittelstadt, recently joining the Laval Rocket, scored his first career AHL goal. And I just mentioned Dylan Bentley, who they signed to a PTO last week after signing him to an AHL contract for next year. He made his AHL debut on Friday night. Got some good experience. A couple of shots on goal. Get his feet wet a little bit. Kakinen did okay again. 21 saves. However, Bridgeport were the ones who came out on top in this one. In the shootout, once again, 3-2.
I'm going to have to find some shootout scores for the Rocket.
I think so.
Luke Mittelstadt, in his appearances, got that goal, as you mentioned. But he plays a mature game. He looked very good. And we know that the Rocket have some injuries on the back end. But even when those defensemen come back, it's going to be hard to dislodge Luke Mittelstadt from the lineup if he keeps playing the way he played this week.
Mm-hmm. Laval has just 7 games left in the regular season before the playoffs start. They have a 39-19-2-5 record. They are still sitting at first overall in the North, 5th overall in the AHL. They play in Wilkes-Barre today, later today, and going to give Kaapo Kakinen a little bit of a rest. He's made a couple of starts this week. So Hunter Shepherd gets his first start with a Rocket tonight against the Penguins. Good luck to him.
Yeah, for sure.
See how that goes. And then they have a week off. They go home and they'll be hosting Calgary for a couple of games next weekend. So see what they can do against Wilkes-Barre on Saturday night. And the Trois Rivières Lions still holding on to 5th place in the North Division, 16th overall in the AHL. They did get a win. I think they had a 1-0 victory this week. So they're still trying. That's all you can ask. They're still trying. All right. Shifting gears back to hockey overall, Elite Prospects has put out their 2026 top 100 under 23 NHL affiliated skaters ranking. Let me say that again, because that is a whole lot of qualifiers. The Elite Prospect 2026 top 100 skaters under the age of 23 who are NHL affiliated.
Makes sense.
Okay. Number one, are we surprised that it's Macklin Celebrini?
No.
Are we surprised that number two is Connor Bedard?
No.
Are we surprised that number three is Matthew Schaefer?
No, all deserving. And maybe you want to shuffle the deck and rearrange it to your own liking. But those should be the top three prospects under 23 and it's ranking season. So we're going to be spending time on a number of these. But this is one from Elite Prospects.
Mm-hmm. So that's your first three. Celebrini, Bedard, Schaefer. 4 and 5, Hudson and Demidov, respectively.
Yeah. The Canadians in this list of 100, have 5 prospects. And the two highest, Lane Hudson, Ivan Demidov, friends, and also in the top 5 as two of the best prospects out there.
Mm-hmm. Coming in at number 14 is Juraj Slafkovský.
Given the season he's having, you might wonder, if he might have been a little bit higher in this list. But when you look at the others on the list, it makes some sense.
Yeah, David Reinbacher coming in at number 64.
Now we know about his season. We know about his injuries. We know all of that, and we know that he's been playing better of late the last few weeks, not enough to get him above his sweater number.
that's true. And not too far behind him at number 72, they have Michael Hage, who has yet to turn pro, but we imagine it's going to be soon.
To their credit, they talk about if you just focused on the offensive aspects, if you just focus on the power play aspects, that Michael Hage could be higher. But his game isn't perfect. His game is raw. His game has some flaws, especially playing away from the puck and on the defensive side. And so they said they expect that he will shoot up, but that this, in their opinion, is where he sits at this point.
Pretty impressive, though. 5 prospects in the Elite Prospects Top 100 under 23 NHL affiliated. If you missed it, Kat Foley and Julie Petrie, they have a podcast together, still very good friends from when their husbands played together for the Canadians. And they have a podcast called Never Offside. It's great name for their, mm-hmm. their podcast. And they had a very special guest this week, someone who never, ever, ever does podcasts. Never, ever.
And that was Carey Price.
That's right.
And Julie Petrie, she explained how it all came about. The Prices, the family was visiting the Petrie family in Florida. Of course, Jeff recently with the Florida Panthers was traded the deadline to Minnesota. So Julie there with the boys, and the Prices arrived. And it's Julie Petrie's birthday. And Julie put on her begging face and said, "Carey, for my birthday, the only thing I want, the only thing you could do for me is come on my podcast as a guest." And so he was, "All right, sure, fine."
Yeah.
Apparently it's only the third podcast appearance he's ever been on. And so it was really an opportunity, and the topics were varied, then they got to kind of successor, you might say, and they weren't talking about the Montreal Canadiens in particularly. The question was asked, which NHL goaltender reminds you of yourself? And this is what Carey Price had to say.
Is there a goalie in the league right now that reminds you of yourself? You're like, oh, looks like me.
Yeah, Jacob Fowler.
Yeah?
He reminds me, like, I watch him play and he just reminds me a lot of me when I was his age.
Have you talked to him, like, about that? Like,
yeah, like, I've talked to their goalies a little bit. I've talked to Jacob a couple of times. I don't want to, I'm not trying to get in his head or anything.
You know, yeah.
I gave him my number, and if he ever has any questions about anything, I'm always open to help out in any way I can. But you know, he looks like he's doing just fine to me.
It's an understated Carey Price statement.
Perfect. Yeah.
I don't want to get in his head or anything. I'll help out. He looks like he's doing fine.
But. For him to land this bombshell, of course, the social media exploded after this came out. This is the only thing. It's sad that this is the only thing that people are talking about from the podcast. There was actually a lot of good information that came out.
And just fun stories and
great stories.
Because he doesn't do this often. He doesn't make these kinds of appearances.
And lots of kind of backstories about him coming into the league and the mentors and people who influenced him and all kinds of things that I found really fascinating. But this was a bit of a bombshell, and why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
And it was, I think what's missed is that he said that he has talked to the Canadiens goalies, so it's more than Fowler. And Carey Price is currently, although it seems odd, a member.
Only.
Yeah, and he talked about Teal, that famous tweet, he's a member of the Sharks right now. But when that is all said and done, might there be an opportunity for something to be formalized and for Carey Price to have more interactions with the two young goaltenders in Montreal? Fascinating, always fascinating to hear Carey Price. You know, he was asked his favorite rink to play in, and he mentioned besides the Bell Center, of course. He mentioned the TD Garden, Boston, because the fans hated him there, and he just loves that sense of competition,
animosity.
Talked about, you know, his teammates who were fiercely competitive, and he mentioned Gallagher, which shouldn't be a surprise, but Paul Byron, who might be a surprise to people, the shooter that was hardest to read. He mentioned Ovi. Maybe that's not a surprise. Asked him about style, that older Canadians whose style he admired. And he talked about Sheldon Surrey and Andre Markov. What a great influence Saku Koivu was. Lots of little tidbits. There's a fun story about Jake Evans losing his cell phone. And the other one, and you caught this, was he was asked about the new Mr. Saturday Night, because of course the original Mr. Saturday Night, and in my mind still Mr. Saturday Night is Carey Price, and he was asked about
How do you feel about Cole Caulfield now being Mr. Saturday? And he said, I don't particularly like it. In a very quiet way. And he said, maybe he could be Mr. Saturday Evening.
Yeah, it was.
And he said, all kidding aside, I mean, he's doing a great job, but maybe I still like being Mr. Saturday Night.
Yeah. Loved it.
If you haven't caught that, go out and look for it. Watch the whole thing. They spend, I think, close to an hour with Carey.
Pretty much, yeah. With Carey and with Angela.
She's constantly chiming in from the background. You can see her sitting in the background. It is definitely worth a listen if you just want some, you know, unfiltered Carey Price anecdotes, and you just miss Pricey and that kind of thing. It's a great opportunity to hear from him. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We'll hear a message from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And when we come back, we are tackling this week's big topic. The Montreal Canadiens are the NHL's youngest team, and that's a good thing. Got a lot to say about it, so stick around. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, I am Amy Johnson here in the studio with our president and founder here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. Both Rick, myself, and this podcast, we all have social media handles that you are encouraged to follow. First off, over on X, you can find me at Flyers Rule. You can find Rick at Rocket Sports. You can find this podcast at Habs Connection. And that one is on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. We're here every single week of the year, including the entire off season. We don't take a week off because there's always something to talk about when it comes to the Montreal Canadiens, and we don't want you to ever miss a thing. So hit subscribe if you haven't done so already. You know, all season long, the Canadiens have been labeled as the youngest team in the NHL, and you hear it constantly. Just for the variety's sake, tend to watch a lot of the Canadiens games via the opponent's broadcast. Here with, you know, you get a lot of insight by doing that, by hearing what other teams and broadcasters notice or are paying attention to about the Canadiens. And you hear them, broadcaster after broadcaster for the opposing teams, all talk about how it's the youngest team in the NHL. Usually that phrasing, being labeled as the youngest team in the NHL, comes with, most of the times, the expectation that youth and a heavily youthful team is going to lead to inconsistency and mistakes and growing pains. But really, as this season has gone on, I'm not so sure that that narrative really holds up the way people expected it to back at the beginning of the season when it was, okay, just brace yourselves, folks, because this is the youngest team in the NHL this year. When you take a closer look at where the Canadiens' success has come from this season, many times, if not most of the time, it's been the younger players who are driving things, who are pushing the pace, making an impact. And some of the struggles that the team has had haven't necessarily been tied to the inexperience of the younger players at all. So yes, they are still the youngest team in the league, but instead of that being a reason to kind of temper your expectations, it actually might be one of the biggest reasons that they've been able to stay competitive, which completely shifts the conversation about being the youngest team in the league for once. You know, Rick, when you look at this team right now, is their youth something that's just kind of a still under development mantra, or is it something that's already kind of becoming a strength of the Canadiens?
Well, I think that the answer to that has evolved over the season, because it was being presented at the beginning of the season as a negative, definitely as a negative. Mm-hmm. You heard it from the Montreal media all the time. The Canadiens are the youngest team in the league, and it was this albatross that they had to deal with. It was an anchor that was going to all these young players. Too many. How can you go forward with this many young players in the lineup? They're an anchor. They're going to drag you down. And maybe it was even being spouted as a built-in excuse. If things didn't go right, well, Canadiens are the youngest team in the league, kind of thing.
Right.
And I don't think that's really bared out that way at all. And what are we talking about, actually? When you look at average age, and of course that varies throughout the season depending who's in and out of the lineup and injuries, and since the trade deadline, the Canadiens are actually the second youngest team in the league, but okay, they're still there. Chicago is a little bit younger than them, but the Canadiens are about on average 26 years when you factor everything in. How does that compare to other teams? Colorado is the oldest average team, just over 30 years. Minnesota Wild, another older team, 30 years. Vegas, 29.7. Tampa Bay, 29.6. New York Islanders, 29.4. Those are all strong teams. Detroit, 29.3. Those are all perhaps playoff or they'll just miss. In the case of Detroit, will they be in the playoffs or just miss? But those top five are pretty strong teams. So the Canadiens being up near the top of the standings with an average age of, say, 4 years younger, that should be something that should be celebrated. And it should be the young players, as you said, who should be celebrated because they're the ones that are fueling this in great part. They're powering the success in part, but I think they're punching above their weight here. So let's take a look at not just speaking in generalities, but some specifics here.
Well, that's just it. It's easy to say, oh, it's some of the younger players who are contributing to the success. And when you hear us say that, you might kind of get a picture in your mind of one or two faces that, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that player for sure. And yeah, that player's been really good. And there's some of the young guys. But let's actually quantify it a little bit. And let's break down the team by kind of age differential a little bit and look at what certain groups of players that make up the Canadiens roster have been able to do. And we're going to start with the obvious category when we're talking about the Canadiens being the youngest team in the NHL, and that's their rookies. So for the rookies, have the rookies, who would obviously be the youngest players on the team, have the rookies been helping to drive the Canadiens' success, or have they been a hindrance and something that has held them back? Well, let's start with Ivan Demidov.
Well, you look in that second line in total, and yes, made up of Ivan Demidov and Oliver Kapanen and another winger, but the consistent part have been the two rookies. And you heard what was talked about in the preseason and early in the season. You can't go into the season, you can't go very far into the season with a rookie as your second line center. You can't have Kapanen as your second line center, and you surely can't have two rookies on the Montreal Canadiens second line with Demidov there. It's just not going to work. It's just going to happen. They're going to get caved in every time. Now, they had more success with Slavkovsky, and you heard me say before, I think they need somebody. Alex Newhook just isn't pulling his weight there, or isn't the kind of player that complements the other two well. But those two, Oliver Kapanen, second in goals for rookies. Ivan Demidov, second in points for rookies. First in assist for rookies.
League-wide, not just
league-wide.
Those are stats league-wide, not just on the Canadiens.
And everybody's talking about Matthew Schafer being the Calder winner, and the Canadiens, you know, there was some talk early in the season that, oh, wouldn't it be great if Hudson was Calder winner last year and Demidov this year. It doesn't mean, because he's probably not going to win, it doesn't mean that Demidov isn't having a great season. He is. And even amongst the team, he's top five in scoring. Oliver Kapanen is seventh in Canadian scoring. These two guys are having a huge impact on the success of the Montreal Canadiens.
And the interesting thing is that those are two guys in a very spotlight-heavy role on the second line. And the other two rookies on the team definitely have a huge spotlight, and they have definitely been helping to contribute towards success, and that is their now goaltending tandem of Jakub Dobish and Jacob Fowler.
No one expected Jacob Fowler to get a call-up. He was the plan was to keep him in Laval and get as many starts as possible, but we've talked about it before. Sam Montembeau became unplayable in December. Fowler came up, and it was Dobish and Fowler that carried the Montreal Canadiens in the month of December. Fowler back back down for a little while. And when he came up again because of Montembeau, it was essentially to be the backup to Jakub Dobish. Jakub Dobish by that time had assumed the mantle of the number one goaltender. And listen, all this guy has gotten is criticism this year. He's been lumped unfairly into the bad goaltending category with Sam Montembeau, more or less to protect Sam Montembeau. But he has been, he is maybe the biggest reason why the Canadians are where they are right now. Mm-hmm. And certainly since the 7th of March, he's been one of the top goalies in the National Hockey League. He's has 7 starts since that time, 5 wins. That's second in the NHL. In that time since March 7th, he has a 2.0 goals against average and a 931 save percentage. He's been outstanding. He's been consistent. He has delivered the type of goaltending that the Canadians had been missing.
So as far as the rookies on the team go...
And we should say that this season, we were talking about the standings amongst rookies. Jakub Dobish, he has the most wins of any rookie goaltender in the National Hockey League. The record people forget about, 28-8-4, 24-8-4. And in his career... This is the beginning of his NHL career. He is 31-12-7. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
You say that the Canadians can't go into the playoffs with 2 rookie goaltenders. You can't have a tandem of 2 rookies. Why not? They are. Yeah. And it's the best chance they have for winning.
Definitely. So the rookies definitely not holding the team back. Definitely not something to blink an eye at. The rookies are driving things. So that takes us then to the next category, would be the under 23s. And there are 2 on this team, Lane Hudson and Juraj Slafkovský. I don't think either one of them is holding the team back.
Again, they are under the average, but it's the youth that are fueling, that are propelling the Canadians to their success. Lane Hudson, 10th in the league in assists, 4th amongst defensemen in points, first 70-point defenseman in over 35 years. Juraj Slafkovský on pace for 30 goals. You look at that group, Kapanen, Demidov, Dobish, Fowler, Hudson, Slafkovský, all young players, they're the ones that are largely responsible for the success. So as the name of this podcast suggests, the youth for the Montreal Canadiens, it's their advantage.
It's not a problem. It is their advantage. Even when you move into, maybe we can't call them the youth anymore, but the guys who are in their mid-20s, I mean... You kind of get the good and the bad here, but you get some pretty good on the good side. And I mean, we're talking Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Caden Gooley. There's also Noah Dobson, Kirby Dock, and Alex Newhook. And so you kind of, there's kind of the first 3, and then there's the second 3 to talk about. But these are the players that are in their prime right now. And they're still relatively young.
And you know, I'm not taking anything away from this group. Mm-hmm. These guys are in their prime. They should be driving the bus. They are driving the bus. When you talk about Suzuki, Caulfield, Gooley, injured, and he's getting back on track now. Dobson's been great. Dock and Newhook less so. So, you know, at the average, if the Canadiens' average is around 26, all of those guys fit into that category, and they're not on the alongside of the average, they're right at the average. Mm-hmm. The youth is propelling the Canadians to success.
So that's when things shift. Rick, when we were talking pre-show about this topic, you know, you were mentioning how, you know, at the beginning of the season, it was, okay, the Canadians have the young, will have the youngest team in the NHL this year, and the constant drumming for you've got to bring in more veterans, you've got to bring in they're going to be too inexperienced. You mentioned, you know, Kent Hughes talking about a GM that tell you, well, you can't just buy experience. Your young guys have got to just gain the experience. And so you've got to rely on the veterans you have. Well, when you look at the players on the team who are supposed to be the ones kind of like steadying the ship as the young guys make their mistakes, go through their learning curves, their growing pains, all that kind of stuff. You're 29 and over veterans. Sam Montembeau, Alex Carrier, Mike Matheson, Josh Anderson, Phil Deneau, Jake Evans, Brendan Gallagher. There's a lot of problems on that list. Not all of them and not all the time, but there's a lot more flashing neon signs on that list.
Well, are there players on this list who are contributing as much as the players, you know, on the younger side of the list? Are they the ones driving the bus, propelling the success? You know, you can take out your red pen and do your own report card. But in general, I'd have to say, no, Sam Montembeau, of course not.
No.
Phil Deneau's been in, you know, faceoffs, yes, hasn't fixed the penalty kill as was hoped. Brendan Gallagher is slowing, was scratched. Alex Carrier he's had some problems recently. Mike Matheson, whatever. Josh Anderson may, his physicality may be helpful in the playoffs. Jake Evans is kind of consistent. But the point is that, you know, at the beginning of the season, lists were being circulated. Kent Hughes has got to go out and get these 30-plus players, 29-plus players. And as the GM told him, you can't just buy experience. You have to let your young players gain experience. And so this whole narrative, I think, has collapsed. That this whole narrative that the youngest team in the league, it's the young players who are going to be liable for the mistakes, going to cause problems, going to upend the team. I think that whole narrative has collapsed, and I think it's time to celebrate the young players, the rookies, and the young professionals of this team.
Absolutely. When we know that Marty's been real hit or miss in his press conferences recently, he had a real zinger for reporters today.
It happened earlier in the week, and Marty's been a little bit prickly with the media this week. This doesn't relate to age in any respect. But he wasn't happy with some of the questions he was being asked, and just asked people to put away their bad questions and ask some good questions. Are there no good questions? So Marty was entertaining again this week. But the point we're getting to here is that that the Canadiens fans should be, when it's talked about that the Canadiens have one of the youngest teams in the league, that should be good news, because they can be if they're being successful now, they're likely to be even more successful as they mature. There are more younger players coming. The players that are with the team are going to gain experience and then start moving closer to their primes. And it's also an opportunity to say adieu to the veterans who maybe have more been on the anchor side than some of the younger players.
Definitely. So that brings us to our Canadians Connection question of the week. This is where we ask you your opinion about something related to this week's big topic, and we encourage you to submit your answers. The question for you this week is, Which young Canadiens player has impressed you the most this season? And why? We always want to know why. Which young Canadiens player has impressed you the most this season? And why? You can submit your responses via our Rocket Sports text line. Just text us at 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. You can leave a comment on Spotify. You can leave a comment on YouTube. Or you could hit us up on social media. Remember, it's at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. And of course, when you do submit your replies, as so many of you did last week, then we will go through and select the best responses and read them out on the following week's show. So get your responses in to this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, because after we take one more break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast, we've got a lot of your comments from last week's show to bring to you. You're not going to want to miss that, so stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 393 of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, give us a follow wherever you can. Subscribe. We want you to do that. If you are on a platform that allows you to leave feedback, whether that's a review, whether it's a five-star, whether it's a like, hey, if you're enjoying today's show, if you're enjoying this kind of weekly content, then do us a favor and hit that five-star, hit that like button, leave a review if you're able to. Same thing, if you are enjoying this content and you'd like to give us a little bit of a hand and a little bit of help, the easiest way to do that is to share this episode. However you are listening or watching, whatever platform you're on, there should be a really easy share button right there for you. Just tap share and share this episode with your social media followers, and it will greatly go towards helping us out. Also, don't forget, bookmark our written coverage over on hockeyhotstove.com. You can just go over to hockeyhotstove.com, tap on the Canadiens logo, and that will take you to our Montreal Canadiens coverage. Chris G always has a really good weekly notebook article that comes out on Mondays. You'll want to check that. And there is some other written content throughout the week as well. So be sure you're checking that out too. And also, if you are not subscribed to our YouTube channel, you can find that at insidethecanadiens.com and just tap subscribe. The podcast also comes out on YouTube. All right. So last week, the question of the week, first I should say, get in your answers to this week's question of the week, which is which young Canadiens player has impressed you the most this season and why? So be sure you get in your answers for that. We had a lot of responses come in last week for a number of different things. Starting over on X, over on Twitter, Robert Dixon wrote in and said, missing the big shutdown defenseman. Arbor's not getting the ice time to learn the trade, or is there anyone to teach it?
Great question.
Mm-hmm.
Great question.
Is there anyone to teach it? Mr. Dixon, we'd love the answer to that question.
Yeah, well, a few, I think it was in last week's, that a few folks were pointing the finger at Stéphane Robida.
Robida. Mm-hmm.
I think a finger's been pointed here as well. Also on X, we heard from @HabsRule26, he said, totally agree with some of your takes on Habs defensemen. Matheson is last on the Canadiens in on-ice expected goal differential 5-on-5 for the last 2 years. We heard similar nice guy comments about David Savard last year, and he was the second worst and should not have been playing. And Habs Rule 26 sent attached two graphics, and they are the expected goal differential for this season and last season, and they show quite clearly Mike Matheson with the worst expected goal differential in both seasons. So thank you for sending these great graphs. Lane Hutson at the top, by the way, for this season. In a visual way, in a graphical way, in a colorful way, he is illustrating, Habs Rule is illustrating some of the things we were talking about on last week's podcast.
And great to point out that, yes, same thing that happened with David Savard last year. Nothing against David Savard personally or how much he loved being in Montreal, living in Montreal, working with Montreal and all those kinds of things. But shouldn't have been, he got to a point that he shouldn't have been playing, and he was still playing because he was just such a favorite guy. So good to make that connection as well, that this seems to be happening with Matheson here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Over on YouTube, we had a bunch of people answering the question of whether or not the Canadians were built for the playoffs. @RoyShroud9536 said, not in the slightest.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. @DaniellaForme9868 said, maybe first round, but that's it. So, okay. So we got one that says, nope. One that says, first round. But not sure about after that. So that's good.
This one on YouTube comes from @DarkMatterEclipse. We've heard from Dark Matter Eclipse before. That person says, not at all. There are big gaps in this team. 2027, a lot of cap space opens up. That's when gaps can be filled that don't happen internally. Top six, bottom six, and defense. It won't be free agents. There'll be some vital trades like the Dobson trade. Something will get addressed this summer with the departure of Patrick Laine and what they do with Doc Foligno and Jack Eye. 2027 bye-byes will be to Galli, Anderson, Carrier, and what to do with Deneau, Kapanen, Newhook, and a couple of others that may not be there even then. There will be moves fans won't like. Ask in 2028 if the team is built for the playoffs. So we'll get back to this question. We'll put a note down in the calendar for 2028 and ask again. Actually, we'll probably ask sooner than that. Says Dark Matter Eclipse, they should be in a better position next year at this time, but probably not quite there yet.
I appreciate the objective realisticness of that reply, that's someone who, while they might be excited at the prospect of going on a nice deep playoff run, they understand that there's still some obstacles in the way and that they aren't quick fixes and that this is still a process that the Habs have to go through.
Feet in the ground.
Yep. We have a great comment from @PMoranFidelt, who says, great show as always. To be honest, you both hit the nail on the head. The defense and penalty kill have to be changed in order for Montreal to make it past the first round. Lane Hutson needs to play on his strong side, and we need to hand players on defense that are looking to protect the puck and not give it away. Not going to name the player in particular, but I know Rick will agree with me.
I do. Yes, I do.
He goes on to say, during a game this close to the playoffs, isn't the time to experiment on your stick handling. Do that in practice.
Mike.
Yeah. Martin St. Louis needs to stop listening to the media and think about the players that are contributing to the wins and not the ones that are likable by the media and are willing to chat it up. The goal is to win the Stanley Cup, not to win a popularity contest.
Well, you said great show as always. Great comment as always. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Very good. Finally, we have a good comment from at Habinations, who says they have some pieces to the puzzle, but not all they need for a run. So it's a nope. They can't even be the Cinderella team. Buffalo has that covered. It's a part of the process to lose, to learn how to win. Next year, things will change. Fans will expect playoff runs and cups, unless they win 11 in overtime. But Fowler doesn't look like a Wah at the moment or a Price, even though Carey Price says differently. He goes on to say, if Dobish starts games 1 and 2, meaning in the playoffs this season, and loses, he will be easy to trade in the offseason with no fan backlash, kind of like Monty. Fowler or bust, better not be bust. Go Habs, go. Ooh, there's a lot to unpack in that. Some of that
all
I agree with.
All in on Fowler. Okay.
All in on Fowler. I don't see them trading Dobish away.
No.
Some good things in there. And that there's everything. We just said this with Dark Matter Eclipse's comment as well, that it's a process. And
I really like he notes expectations will be increased again next year,
mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely true. That there's no escaping that now that the rebuild is kind of in the rear view, that fans will expect results.
That's right. Thank you to everyone. It was difficult to whittle down the ones that we were going to read this week. If yours wasn't read, keep sending them in. Believe me, we read them all. We had so many last week. We love the amount that we got last week. It was hard to choose which ones. We're looking forward to hearing from you for this week. So get your responses in. And it's going to be a busy week because the Canadians have 4 games this week, starting with their visit to Nashville tonight, Saturday night. Then they'll be it's another Sunday night game. They're visiting Carolina this time on Sunday night. We'll see what the Hurricanes have in store after getting beat at the Bell Center earlier this week. Then on Tuesday, Montreal continues their road trip with a visit to Tampa Bay. That will be a tough matchup against the Lightning. Then they come home on Thursday for what on paper should maybe be a little bit of a
sorry, that one's at MSG.
Oh, you know what? It is. You're right. They aren't home yet for New York. They road trip all this week in Nashville Saturday night.
5-game road trip, yeah.
Yeah, in Nashville Saturday night, in Carolina on Sunday night, in Tampa Bay on Tuesday night, in Madison Square Garden on Thursday night. So it's going to be a fun week of hockey, but some important games in there. And then next Saturday, April 4th, is when we will be back with our next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. So enjoy your week ahead. Enjoy baseball if you are watching. We'll see you again here next Saturday for another great episode of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @RocketSports.